little bit of bass as well.
You can turn it up a little bit, just a teeny bit. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, test mic.
Rolling?
Let's do it, man.
Curve of Earth is the debut album of the band Otis, a trio from a town called Normal in Illinois, though their story is anything but. Frontman Sam Swinson has had a turbulent life. He grew up in a fundamentalist evangelical cult and has battled a heroin addiction which caused Otis to disband in the late noughties and separate across America. But the music didn't stop. Curve of Earth is a collection of songs that the band wrote during their 10-year hiatus, while Swinson went to rehab, became sober, and left his church. At heart, the album is 8 tracks of lush Americana, but with a twist. For example, off mic, Swinson tells me that he's a big fan of Brazilian music, elements of which are apparent on the record. The lyrics are a dark retrospective of Swinson's life so far. It's a beautiful and frank story of recovery and rehabilitation. Here's Sam.
I'm Sam of Otis. This song's called Runnin'. The expression you were wearing of emotional pain, like anybody struggling to keep himself sane. I'll run with you, brother, in the midnight rain, when we run out of track on the glory train. I will go running with you, running in the Georgian night. We together will be better than me. Together we surrender to fight. Got the good time on the radio. We were getting too high, I was bound to get slow. I wonder, dear brother, is it well with your soul? If the Lord is the shepherd, will the sheep ever know? I will go running with you, running in the Texan night. We together will be better than me. Together we surrender to fight. You woke up drunk on the kitchen floor. The day your daddy died, you didn't drink anymore. You gave up the beer, but you still got the fear. I'm terrified with you, brother, now I'm here. I will go running with you, running in the Illinois night. We together will be better than me. Together we surrender to fight. I thought you were dead and I'd have to let you go when we wrecked driving drunk down in New Mexico. I walked out the hospital when I got the news. You're alive and I'm still singing you Rex's blues. I will go running with you, running in the California night. We together will be better than me. Together we surrender to fight. When you took the trolley to the top of the arch, your heart started thumping and your vision got dark. When you let me into your peaceful place, I burned down your house, now I'm hiding my face. I will one day run with you, run in the unknown night. We together will be better than me. Together we surrender to fight. I heard the whisper of the Lord in your voice, calling me back up, giving me another choice. The needle hanging in, I collapsed on the floor. You were both crying out to me and banging on the floor. door. I will one day run with you, run in the unknown night. We together will be better than me. Together we surrender to fight. Together we surrender to fight.
I was living in Cambria, California, just like kind of being a beach bum, and Adam was on the road with another band, and he was just kind of burnt out, and we had been sending music back and forth for a long time, and he started hinting that he was like maybe ready to do something a little more subdued, and I think I twisted his arm into taking me back and trying to make something out of all these songs that we've been working on for years and years.
You've kind of been in like a long distance relationship with your band for a while. What was it like when you all came back together?
We still haven't.
And you still haven't?
No, we're still long distance. I'm in LA, Nate's in Chicago, Adam's in Detroit. It's interesting, but with like technology, you know, you can do it.
Yeah, you make it work.
Yeah.
So then when you haven't been working together physically in one space for a while, and you guys were a band, when did you first become a band? When you were in high school, I think?
Yeah, we were kids.
Yeah, so then how did you know that you wanted this to be an Otis project and you didn't want to, you know, make it a solo project or start another band? How did you know that the sort of you needed those guys to be your band still?
I just couldn't do it without them. Yeah, I can't really imagine trying to do this by myself. Mm. That'd be really scary. Yeah, I need those boys. This song's called Rehab.
I have said I am sorry now 100,000 times, and I'm eating my words, every last one. I tend to fall, I'm ending all my karmic crimes. And for every apology, a poke hole in my skin. But still I'm still begging, begging again that every sin would be forgiven. Don't lose faith in me, Lord. Lord, I'm not that bad. Can't you hear me repenting? Sorry for making you sad. If I sing you this song, will you right my wrong? If I go to rehab, will you make me belong?
I mean, there's a lot of dark subject matter on here. You know, you talk about your battle with heroin and a lot about your religious background. And these songs are written over such a long period of time. Going from sort of the religious point of view, do you still have the same beliefs that you had when you started writing this record?
No.
No?
No. Thank God.
Does that make it more interesting to sing those songs now when you think differently about how you thought about things when you wrote these songs?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird feeling, but I guess I see it as a reminder. I don't know. It's good to be reminded where you've come from, you know?
Mm. And so what does religion mean to you now?
I don't like religion. I think I have a serious resentment against organized religion, and it's probably an unhealthy one. It's probably a... You know, I should probably just relax a little bit and not worry about it so much. But also, I can see the good in it, and I can see how I had these good principles instilled in me from it, because I think every religion, you know, at its core is good. They all practice these what I see as universal truths and spiritual principles, and they can do a lot of good, but I think mostly they do bad, historically.
I guess you just have to learn what faith means to you and what you believe in, rather than being told what you believe.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I mean, this record has been on such a journey. Do you think you would have to change your approach to how you wrote a second record? As in, if you actually sat down and thought, I am writing an album, rather than here are some songs that I've been writing over a long period of time.
It's going to be different, for sure. The stuff I'm writing now is, you know, it has elements of a lot of the stuff from the past, but I think it's not as dark, because when I was writing these songs that are coming out on this record, it was just a very hard, painful time in my life. So, and that's how I wrote, is when I was really in a lot of pain, I'd pick up my guitar and I would, you know, kind of get some relief that way by writing it. I don't know why, but I mean, I guess I do, just being honest, you know, just expressing honestly what's happening instead of trying to ignore it and be in denial about it. That's very therapeutic to do that.
I went out begging, a begging out on the street. The street was a heavy, was a pushing up on my feet. I had to make a call, but I didn't know, not at all. Instead, I bought some beer, and I got drunk, and I just watched the world disappear. If it was you, tell me what would you do? If everywhere you go, soon as you walk in, the only thing you really know, the only thing you know is God is not there to be found, and all you see is evil, only evil all around. But I'm singing here, some people need certain things to get by, and I was doing better with Bobo when I was high.
The song's called Black Blood.
You've been listening to The Sessions at Midori House. This week's guest was Sam Swinson from the band Otis. Their album, Curve of Earth, is out on the 29th of March on Full Time Hobby. This show was produced by me, Holly Fisher, and recorded and mixed by Alex Portfelix. Join us at the same time next week for more live music, but until then, thanks for listening.
Two days later, he woke up strapped in a hospital bed next to another man who wanted to be dead. Started writing his own eulogy, ashamed of the kind of man he turned out to be. He had black blood running off his veins as thick as grit, mouth corner stains and stomach pains and charcoal black spit. He'd forgotten what was holy, he thought, this is it. Long ago he had resigned to be a piece of shit. Why you gotta keep on torturing me? Jesus, I admit it, I'm a big fucking phony. I locked myself up in prison and I threw away the key. But I'm tired of being tortured, Lord, I just wanna be free. certain respect for the earth, like probably nobody should. Probably because he grew beside the woods, where his little sister would always be his best friend. But even she would be betrayed by him before the end. He survived by pretty sisters and a mom and a dad, and what was left of the love of the woman he once had. His last words, when reminded what his legacy would be, tell him I'm not worth remembering, just forget about me. Why you gotta keep on torturing us? Ooh, haven't I paid enough for all the drugs that I've done? My poor mother's praying you take back her only son. Why you gotta keep on torturing yourself? You are directly responsible for your own poor mental health. I locked myself up in prison and I threw away the key. But I'm tired of being tortured, Lord. I just wanna be free.